This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with a message that was first published back in April of the year 2000, and this happens to be February of the year 2024, so we're talking about almost 24 years ago. And the reason why I give you the dates is because in reading this message, putting it on audio, I might make reference to some persons, places, or individuals that may or may not be relevant for today. They were relevant back then. That's why I put them in the message. But they may not be relevant to today. But then again, they could be. But I will say this, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the world lasts another 6,000 years, His Word will still be relevant, and those that are exposed to His Word would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives according to it. Now, the subject scripture for this message is one that I have used in the first messages for the first 3 months of this year, January, February, and March, using the same scripture, and I'm using it here as well for April. And if you have the scripture, which is St. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The title for this message is The Only Door. The Only Door. Now, last month we looked at a subject using the third part of the scripture above. Like I said, Jesus says, "I am the way." That was part one. Then He says the truth. That was the second part. And then it was the life, which is what was last month. But now we're getting into this last part here, where it says this, it says basically, quite frankly, I wanted to call your attention to this last part of the scripture. Getting in touch with the Father, God. If you look again at the entire verse, in other words, read the entire verses where Jesus is speaking, you will notice that the first three parts, the way, the truth, and the life, are making it clear that what Jesus is saying about Himself is that before any man or woman can come to God, they must go through Jesus and only Jesus. There is no other way to get to God the Father. He, Jesus, is not a way or a truth or a life. The operative word is the. meaning singular. In one passage of Scripture, Jesus refers to himself as the door. Go to St. John chapter number 10 and read verses 7 through 11. If we look at the purpose of a door, we will see that it is a means for something or someone to enter in, provided the one that controls the door opens it. That door lets everyone know that if you want to enter in, then they have to come through it. They are not to come through a window or break a wall down, but they are directed to enter in by the door. In like manner, when you want to come to God, you have to come by the door that He put up to give you a sense of direction when entering into His presence. Now, down through the centuries before Christ, men could call on God by means of prophets or priests. They would make their petitions to these prophets and priests, and these prophets and priests in turn would go before God and present the people's requests to God. Whether it was repentance, deliverance, healing, or any of the things that affect our lives, they had to go through these men. But sometimes these men were not as forthright as they should be and did not always do what was asked of them. Therefore, the people went their way thinking that God had heard them, or they were waiting for Him to bless them, and nothing came of it because the priest or prophet was out of the will of God, and therefore God would not listen to them. There needed to be someone that would continually be on the up and up, if you will. Someone that was totally obedient to His, God's will, and willing to do for the people and not shortchange them. Enter the man, Jesus Christ. A man, perfect in every area of his being. Even though he was a man, he was and is a God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. Many would say that he had an unfair advantage in that he did not have the sin nature that you or I have. And that is true. However, his nature did not have anything to do with it. He could sin just like you and me. Now, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points just like you and I, but he sinned not. You can go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 to find that particular passage of Scripture. Now, herein is something that you need to understand, and that is, even though the temptation comes from within, it is nothing but a thought that seeks your response. The devil couldn't get in Jesus' body, but he could tempt him through his mind by speaking to him. That is the same way he tempts you. He, the devil, tempts you by speaking to your mind. How you respond is the critical point. Jesus responded with the word of God by saying, "It is written." Jesus had the knowledge of the word of God because he is the word of God made flesh. Go to St. John chapter number 1, read verses 1 through 3, and then go down to verse number 14 and read it. It is from these scriptures that we get the saying that Jesus is God in the flesh. Anyway, the Father, because of his Jesus' obedience to him, put him, Jesus, in the position of being the only one that he, God, would recognize as speaking for the people. No other man or woman can directly petition God for anything. He, God, will not hear them. You have to come through Jesus. You go to Jesus and let Jesus go to the Father. You don't go directly to the Father by bypassing Jesus. Well, let's get back into the message here. It is like your phone number. In order for me to call you, I have to dial your number. It has to be the exact number, not one that is close to it. Every digit has to be dialed in the exact order in order for me to get to you. Well, in order to contact God, everything has to be in exact order. And in this case, Jesus is the order that God has set up. People are constantly trying to get to God by prayer, but they are praying the wrong way because they are trying to do it by bypassing Jesus. They are praying to saints. They are praying to Mary. They are praying to Allah. They are praying to Jehovah. They are praying to the Creator. They are praying to any one of a thousand or more gods and think they are getting somewhere. And what does God think of this? Well, what would you think of a person that came into your house by a back window or through a wall or some other way that was not designated by you? You would probably call them a thief or a robber and take the appropriate action, right? Well, Jesus says that is exactly what God considers anyone that tries to get into him by any other means than Jesus Christ. Look at St. John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Ever since man was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, he has done all sorts of things that he felt would be pleasing in the sight of God. Cain was a good example. Here was the first man that God rejected because what he offered God was not what God had set up as proper. The exact the exact reason for his rejection is not mentioned, but it illustrates one point, and that is, just because you go before God does not mean he accepts you or your prayers. People tell me they pray every day to God. Well, that's good. At least you acknowledge that there is a God. However, your prayers are in vain, and I emphasize if you are not praying directly to God through the person or in the name of Jesus Christ. At one time, as mentioned earlier, men had to go to a priest or prophet to get them to intercede on their behalf to God for them. Today, you don't have to go to a man that is no better than you to get to God, but you only have to go through Jesus, the man, the God man. Salvation is only available to those that go through Jesus Christ, period. It is Him and Him only. I hear some religious people say that they believe in Jesus and one or more other of the other religious groups' God. The reason they say this is that they want to have all bases covered, so when the time comes, whatever God they stand before, they can say, "Yes, I believe in you." But to believe in someone means that you take to heart what they say and follow it to the letter. For someone to say that they believe in Jesus and Muhammad is really saying that they don't believe in Jesus, because they are ignoring the subject verse where he says he's the only way. And there's other scriptures that support it. I believe that there was a man named Muhammad that lived centuries ago, but I don't follow him or his teachings. I believe there was a man named Hare Krishna that lived centuries ago, but I don't believe in him. But I don't follow him or his teachings. I believe there was a man named Buddha that lived centuries ago, but I don't follow him or his teachings. However, I know that there was a man named Jesus that lived centuries ago and is alive today, and I do follow him and his teachings. The reason I know is because the Bible says so, and he has proven himself to me. If I can get you to understand the significance of all of this, then you would quickly see the error of trying to avoid Jesus. Picture a humongous house that is equipped with everything that you would ever need. I'm talking about food, clothes, shelter, a means to cure any disease that you would encounter, the wealth of the world, all the power you would need to overcome any situation that you would ever face, all of this and more, and to top that off, eternal life. Wouldn't you do anything to get in there? Well, in order to get in that house that has the welcome mat right out in front of it for all to come in and enjoy its contents, all you have to do is go to the door and knock. How simple can it be? But you don't want to go in that door because you don't like some of the things that it stands for, so you decide you're going to find another door. But try as you might, there is none. Next you say, I will climb over the wall or break through, but there is nothing that has the ability to allow you to accomplish that. So, rather than going through the door and abiding by some simple rules, which are not hard at all, you go away and say to yourself, if I can't have it my way, I will make my own way. In actuality, that is what you are saying right about now. If you are one who still believes that God hears everybody, well, you are right, He does. But to hear and to do are two different things. God has promised blessing on those that are acknowledged by Jesus Christ. He is the one that God listens to. If Jesus says to the Father, this person is one of mine, then God will grant their petition or request. Go to Mark chapter 8 and read verse number 38. It is Jesus, the door, which is the mediator, the go-between, if you will, between God and man. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Imagine, all of this time you have been praying to God the wrong way. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And it is so simple to change and start doing things the right way. If you are truly seeking God, then consider this an answer to your request. You want to get closer to Him? You want Him to reveal Himself to you? Well, if you start using the door, you can go into that house and partake of all of the good things that God has promised for you or for His children. God said, I set before you an open door. That door is Jesus. To open that door, all you have to do is pray this simple prayer, meaning every word from the heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I want you to be Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross for my sins and that God raised you from the dead. I accept you right now as Lord of my life. Come into my heart and cleanse me of my sin. I claim it done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, meaning every word, the door is now open to you to go to God. Well, that is the end of this message, and I hope you got something from it. And as usual, like I said, you know, all try to read all the first four from January 2000, for February 2000, for March, and this month, April, for 2000. Read them all so you can get the full picture. Because, see, we got so many people out here today. And, I mean, you know, they are well-meaning people. I wouldn't say that they're all devils. But they're going about doing things the wrong way. And as a result, their lives are being all messed up. And in some instances, you know, they might be getting well off, but they are still missing the boat as far as God is concerned. And where they don't realize it now, when the time comes and they're standing before God and he tells them, in effect, is depart from, they're going to stand before Christ, really, because Christ is the one that's going to have to be interceding for you before the Father. And Christ is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But these are people that go to church every Sunday. They have been faithful to their denomination or their whatever local assembly they happen to be a part of, or people that, you know, just basically do everything right as far as on the physical side, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, you know, and giving money, you know, to help the poor and stuff like that. They're doing all of these good deeds, but because they're doing it outside of the direction of Christ, then that doesn't count for anything as far as God is concerned. So, in closing, let me just say this. May God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time for another message. This is Evangelist McTyre saying good day.